Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
We are in Romans chapter 8 this morning. We're picking up a series that we have been doing the last couple years, a couple chapters at a time. And we decided this time to go ahead and slow down and spend just 4 weeks in one chapter of the Bible, and that's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the whole Bible, one of the most encouraging passages in the whole Bible. If you were to take a poll of all Christians and you were to ask them what their favorite chapter of the Bible is, they would probably say Romans chapter 8. Many of them would, at least. And that's just because of how full of good news it is for us. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and read the first four verses, and we are going to talk about those this morning. So here we go, Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for these verses that encourage us and tell us amazing truth about who we are in you, amazing truth about how much you care about us, how much you love us. I pray, Lord, that this life-changing gospel would be life-changing in our hearts. May we really truly believe it and trust you all the more because of it. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. PBS tells this story about a slave named Anthony Burns, who was a slave in Virginia, and in 1853, he escaped. He ran away from his master and got to the north, got to the city of Boston up in the north, where slavery was illegal. However, the problem was that in 1850, there had been a law passed by Congress called the Fugitive Slave Act. And the Fugitive Slave Act said that Northerners had to return slaves that had run away. So although Anthony Burns was free and he was living in Boston, he constantly wondered if one day someone would find out who he is, report him, and send him back to his master. And sadly, one day that happened. One day, a group of men figured out who he was. They captured him and sent him back into slavery. My question for us this morning is, do we live in our relationship with God as if there is a Fugitive Slave Act? You know that you're a Christian. You know that you are free. You know that Christ has set you free from sin. But do you wonder sometimes if maybe sin is just creeping around the corner, waiting to capture you, waiting to re-enslave you, waiting to send you back? Maybe you have shame and you have guilt that are just pursuing you, telling you, you know what, you're not truly free. God can't truly love you because of this. Maybe it's a haunting sin from your past that you still shudder when you think about that thing you did that probably ruined everything. Or maybe it's a habitual sin, a sin that you can't seem to stop doing. And you wonder each time you do it, can God really forgive me again? Or am I enslaved again? Maybe it's just a constant fear of failure, a fear of doing the wrong thing, that you live paralyzed and enslaved by guilt and shame, fear of doing the wrong thing. Maybe you just have just a burden, a constant burden all the time, thinking about how terrible you are. There's a fugitive slave act, and you're just waiting till you get exposed and caught and sent back because God couldn't love you the way you are. Good news this morning from this passage is that Christianity does not have a fugitive slave act. This passage makes it very clear that if you are in Christ Jesus, you have truly been set free. So this morning we're going to talk about freedom. We're going to talk about freedom, and we're going to talk about that if you are in Christ Jesus, your freedom has two things. Your freedom has been granted, and two, your freedom has been accomplished. So first, let's look out how your freedom has been granted. And there's two subpoints here. Your freedom has been granted in two ways. One, by your punishment being removed, and two, by your righteousness being applied. Punishment removed. Punishment removed. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." It says that there's no condemnation. No condemnation. You see, the law, God's word, the rules that God has established for his creation in the Bible, those laws love to pursue you. They love to pursue you, and they love to run behind you. And as you're going through your life, they love to say, "You did this wrong. You did this wrong. You did this wrong." It longs to condemn you, to say, "You deserve death. You deserve death. You do not deserve God's love for you." And as it comes behind you saying all of these things, you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says that the law is right. Yes, you are wrong. This is wrong. That is wrong. And you know what? You do deserve to be cast away from God's presence. So the law convicts you. It actually is telling the truth. It has the power to condemn you. As God has said, if you keep the law, you will have his favor. But if you don't, you will stand condemned. However, verse 2 tells us that the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. What this means is that you are no longer punished according to the standards of the law. You're not culpable for the punishment. So even though the law is right in saying that you are sinful and wrong, you are no longer accountable for that punishment because the Spirit of God has set you free from that law. The Spirit of God has pardoned you. When in the United States, you guys are probably familiar with the Watergate scandal when President Richard Nixon was found to have kind of collaborated with these people to break into the Democratic headquarters in the Watergate Hotel. And it came to light through various press reporters that he had done all of these wrong things. He had broken the law in all these ways, and he was about to be impeached, but he decided to resign. He stepped out of office. He stepped down. After that, President Gerald Ford became president. And when Gerald Ford became president, one of the first things he did was to pardon Richard Nixon, to pardon him for all crimes that he may or may not have committed during the Watergate scandal. Now, I'm not making any comment about the political nature of this, but what I am saying is that because Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, no matter what people found out about Richard Nixon in the future, about anything he had done during the entire Watergate scandal, he could not be punished by the law. He could not receive any punishment for any crimes he had committed. And that is what I'm saying here. Our punishment has been removed. We have been pardoned for our sin. We have been set free from the punishment of the sin of sin. So God no longer will punish us for breaking the law. We are truly free from that punishment. You are in Christ Jesus. But that illustration doesn't fully work out, right? Because just because Nixon avoided punishment didn't mean that he was all of a sudden a good guy. It didn't make his actions, it didn't make him righteous. But the good news with the Lord is that not only has the punishment been removed, but righteousness has been applied to us. My dad, which some of you may know, has a number of health issues, but one of the more recent ones is he has a form of leukemia, a form of blood cancer that causes these boils to come up on his skin that are incredibly painful. Now, for sure, my dad can have something called radiation treatment, which would remove the boils, right? It would remove that really painful spot, but the radiation treatment doesn't actually fix the problem with his blood. So right now, he's actually in the process of applying to the National Institute of Health because he wants them to give him what's called a bone marrow transplant. That's when you take healthy bone marrow, healthy blood from someone else, and you replace my dad's broken blood with this healthy blood. And that not only would, assuming it works, help the boils to no longer come up, but it would actually give him a healthy immune system that can fight things well. This is what Christ has done for us. Look here in verse 4. It says that Christ has done what he has done in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We have received a new immune system. We have received a transplant of Christ's righteousness into us. So when God looks at us, in the eyes of God, the great judge, the one who is responsible for judging all good and evil, when he looks at us, he not only sees someone who can't be tried for their sins, he actually sees someone who is righteous. He gives them the same benefits, the same standing that he does his own son, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? God looks at us and he sees a beloved son. Always. Always. Even in the midst of your sin. Even when you sin right now. What does this mean for you? What it means is that you are really and truly free. An author I really enjoy named Steve Brown, who is also a seminary professor, not mine, but he once said, "I fear too often that the church has become an organization of guilty people, with a guilty preacher standing in the pulpit telling guilty people that they should feel guiltier. This is not the nature of the gospel. The gospel says that you are truly free. You are truly free from the burden of sin. You are truly free from the burden of guilt and shame. This is good news." Steve Brown, in his book, Scandalous Freedom, which is a really great book on this topic, he answers some difficult questions that really aren't that difficult. That's what he says. He says, "Does being free mean that if you don't do what God says, he will still love you? Yes, that's exactly what that means. Does being free, that means when other Christians are really upset with you, God isn't? Yes, that's exactly what that means. Does being free mean that his love and his grace are without condition? Yes, that is exactly what that means. Well, what if I do something bad? Would God still bless me and answer my prayers? Yes. Rarely, rarely does the way God treats you, the things that happen in your life, reflect the ways you have acted. What God or God does not do, as Steve Brown says, in your life, rarely has anything to do with how good you are. Your teacher acts like that, not your God." This is really good news. That means in the midst of you sinning, in the midst of you doing that habitual sin again, in the midst of you thinking about that sin that you've done before, in the midst of your guilty conscience, in the midst of the ways that you feel like God is distant, God deeply loves you. You are still free. In the middle of it, it's crazy. And what that means is that you don't need to run away from Him. You don't need to make yourself right before you come back to Him. He just wants you to come. You're free. In fact, one of the things I realized is that this kind of feels like cheating a little bit, right? It feels like you're getting credit for something you don't deserve. And on one hand, you're right. You are getting credit for something you don't deserve. But at the same time, this freedom wasn't just granted to you. This freedom was accomplished for you. It wasn't unearned. It just wasn't earned by you. It was earned by God Himself. Look at verses 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. You see this? What does it say at first? The law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. What does that mean? That means that the law that was given to God's people, those people were never, ever able to fulfill it. They never had the ability to in the first place. The law weakened by the flesh, meaning the law was unable to save people. People could not follow it. People could not obey it themselves. And it goes on to say, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin. You see this? God is a just God, and in His justice, He cannot allow sin to just go unpunished. He cannot allow sin to just get off scot-free. He has to punish it. But God not only is just, God also loves His people. He loves them with a deep grace and a deep mercy that we can't even begin to fathom. And because He does so, He takes on the appearance of sinful flesh. What that means is that not that Jesus became sinful, but that He took on full humanity. He took on our humanity because man was the sinner. Man was the one who had to pay the price. So God became man so man could pay that price. So Jesus goes to the cross and He dies for us. When it says in this first verse that there is therefore now no condemnation, well, there was condemnation before. There was condemnation given to Jesus. Condemnation wasn't ignored. It was just given to the person who didn't deserve it. And He took it willingly for us. He took our sin and He gave us His righteousness. You see, what does this tell us? This tells us that God's favor toward you was never once based on your actions, was never once based on your obedience. From the very beginning, it was only based on His love for you. So why do you think all of a sudden your relationship with God is based on you? It isn't. There are no conditions to a permanent, solid relationship with God, to a freedom from sin and shame. Your freedom has been accomplished this morning if you are in Christ Jesus. It hasn't been accomplished by you, but it has been accomplished for you. Now, wait a minute. You might be saying, I read the end of verse 4. That looks like a condition to me. It says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the condition, right? You got to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Walking according to the Spirit, as we'll talk about next week, is talking about living independence, living in righteousness, and walking according to the flesh is living in sin. So clearly the condition here is that you have to be walking with the Lord in order for Him to love you, in order for this righteous requirement to be applied to you. But here's the truth. This is not a condition This is a description. Andrew stole an illustration from me a couple weeks, so I'm going to do the favor and steal one from him that he used a while back. It's actually not a true story, as I've come to find out, and it's probably a little too fantastical to be considered as true. But there's a story that's told about Abraham Lincoln, the president of the United States during the Civil War. And according to this story, which again is not true, Abraham Lincoln went to a slave market. And as he's sitting there looking at the slaves being bought and sold, he sees this young woman slave standing there terrified, angry, frustrated, and he decides to buy her. He bids on her and he wins. And she comes to him and she's expecting this tall white man to just be another in a line of abusers and mistreaters, people who mistreat her. And when she gets to him, he says, "Young lady, you are free." She said, "What does that mean?" And he says, "It means you are free." And she's like, "Does that mean that I can say whatever I want to say?" And Lincoln said, "Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" And Lincoln said, "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does it mean I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes, you can go wherever you want to go." The girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, "Then I will go with you." It's not a true story, but it is a great picture of what God has done for us. See, God didn't pay money for us when we were slaves to sin. He paid with his own life, way better than Lincoln here. Lincoln, who was himself dependent, needed to be dependent on Jesus for his salvation. He not only paid with money, he paid with his life. And he not only released us from slavery to sin, he gave us new life. He replaced our guilt and our shame and our living for ourselves with purpose, with dignity, with deep love for his child. That's what he has given to us. He loves us deeply. And I tell this story because the girl's response is naturally the response of anyone who has experienced the amazing grace that God has given to us. T. Brown said, "If you feel no attraction, if you feel no attraction to a God who loves you without condition, then there is something wrong with you. You feel no attraction to this kind of love, this kind of relationship, this kind of care, this type of self-sacrifice, and there is something wrong with you." We need the Lord to correct that in us. We need the Lord to change our hearts to see him. And when we experience that love, though, we naturally respond. We naturally respond with love to those who have loved us. So, of course, those who have experienced God's grace, their lives will change because they will desire to live with the Lord, to live for the Lord. They will desire to be like the one who has loved them so well. And obviously, we're not perfect. Martin Luther coined a phrase, which I could wish I could remember the Latin. It's like, at the same time, you are justified and a sinner. The nature of the Christian before Jesus returns, at the same time, you are a sinner and you are justified. So yes, you continue to sin. You continue to struggle in this life. But at the same time, you are 100% free from that sin. You are free from that punishment. In the eyes of God, you are righteous because of what Jesus has accomplished for you. This unconditional freedom you have been granted is the only power that actually leads you to a new life, that actually leads you to living for the Lord. And next week, Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about sanctification, the process by which the Spirit works in us to make us more and more like Jesus. But until then, I hope that this week you will just sit in the truth of what Christ has done for you on the cross. That you will believe that you are really and truly free, no conditions, no small print, no fugitive slave act. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the gospel that means that we are truly free. We are truly right with you. We are truly beloved by you, so that even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of our sin, even when we know that we have intentionally chosen to do something contrary to your will, we can trust that you still love us. You still want relation with us. You still look at us with kind, loving eyes. You're not angry at us, those of us who are in you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.